about.
Hey, fellas, knock off all that high society crap and play some of this. One, two, three, four.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Hey, it's Joe. You're going to want to hear this, man. You're dying to hear this. I'm changing my name to Bob Toe. So what do you think about that? Because change it to a Caucasian name, because I'm thinking, yeah, because I'm thinking about changing my name to Bob Toe.
The one called Smelly Hippie is right.
And now,
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Why is everyone dumb named Kevin? I have an issue with that. Every TV character, Kevin on The Office. I mean, you can look through all characters. Everybody is Kevin, and they're all dumb. That's not my fault, right?
Mostly, yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 19th of March. Want to start from Brunswick, New York. The headline is, it may have been the easiest driving while intoxicated arrest ever made by the New York State Police. Authorities say a trooper was driving a marked car Saturday night. Stopped to fill up gas at a convenience store in Brunswick near Albany. While the trooper was gassing up his car, state police said a 50-year-old man from a nearby city pulled in, parked right next to the trooper's car, and then got out of his car and just walked into the trooper's car. Not open door and get in, but just walked into it. Bonk!
Like he didn't see it.
Right.
Okay.
Officials say the man showed obvious signs of intoxication. What a surprise. Police say the man failed the sobriety test and was arrested for DUI. Trooper said his blood alcohol content was 0.18, more than twice the legal limit.
It's never a good idea.
So it sounds to me like if he walked into the car, he was – I'm not even sure he was just giving himself up. I think he was just getting out of his car and trying to go wherever he was going. And there happened to be a police car in the way. Mm-hmm. And so they just said, why don't you have a seat in the back? Pretty
convenient.
Simple. Pretty
yeah.
simple. Pretty convenient. Made that guy's job very easy.
Huh.
And I like that.
And by the way, what city was that?
That was in Brunswick.
Okay. The police were from where? It starts with an A?
What did I say? Albany?
You said Albany? It was a weird...
Albany.
Okay.
Is that not right?
No.
How do you say Albany?
Albany.
Oh, Albany. Okay. Yeah, I don't care. For me, that's... For me, that's pretty close.
Let's be honest. It is.
You have to take into account who's saying it.
Yeah. Apologies,
Thank
Kevin.
You.
I didn't even take that into consideration.
Thank you. You can't worry about the little things when you're me.
Right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have Dr. Drew on the program. We do on Thursdays, and we're going to have to ask him about Jimmy's pee hole disaster, A. And B, there's a new study out that says about 75% of people do not use condoms during spring break.
And by people... Teens mostly.
Yeah, it seems.
That
seems like a bad decision.
It's a horrible decision.
We also have a new beer mug song. He has written a song about his gambling issues, and this is a great day for it because the March Madness begins.
No.
Yeah. Well. Yes.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
yes.
I'm not promoting.
Trying to figure out the laws of how we say things. But so we got that coming up today. We also have the tickets for Get Hard. We have the premiere of that. We're going to give you away. Give you away. We're going to give away to you. We have Jim Rome talking sports, and we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. So it should be a good show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 10 minutes till 6. We still have some time. Not much time, but some time for you to be the opening act for April Foolishness. It is sold out. It's April 4th. You can send in 2 minutes of you being funny, and this is going to end the period where you can submit stuff is going to end tomorrow at 10 a.m. when the show is over. So there's still a little bit of time, but not a lot. If you'd like to get those in, please do go to krock.com for details. Ralph Garman is here. Time for a look at the Show Biz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get into Show Biz News, we might want to start a new segment called What's Up with North Carolina?
A lot of weird stories.
A lot of weird stuff lately coming out of North Carolina. Most recently, this caught my attention this morning. Deputies in Airedale County, North Carolina, say that a 39-year-old man and his 25-year-old girlfriend were living with their five kids in extremely unsanitary conditions. The kids were living in squalor, they say, but more importantly, the kids were living with their grandfather. 62-year-old grandfather had been dead for some time inside the home.
What? Dead for some time.
Yeah, they were living with a corpse.
What is? Did you get a feel for what some time means?
It's indeterminate.
Hours,
as
days,
right
weeks?
Now. Well, it's been a while.
Was he propped up on a chair? Or was he in another room?
I wish I knew.
Come on, Ralph.
I wish I knew. I wish I had photos to show
you. I want
to
visualize
bar
this.
Graphs, but... Jeremy Daniel Dishner, 39 years old, and his girlfriend Melissa K. Lynn, Melissa K. Lynn,
that's
North Carolina for you, told the cops they didn't realize the man was dead.
What?
And they were very sorry.
Maybe Grandpa didn't talk a lot.
He kept to himself.
He's really getting a good nap, like they told each other. Yeah. I haven't seen him sleep this long in a while.
He's getting some rest.
That's great.
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. We've got an official title for Sharknado 3. You may remember we had Sharknado, the classic. Then we had Sharknado 2. The second one was its official title.
Right.
Now, Sharknado 3.
The hat trick.
That would have been good. You should have been in the brain trust.
Sharknado 3.
Trifecta.
Oh, another good one.
Oh, yeah.
No?
No. Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. is the subtitle for the third installment.
I love it.
The sci-fi horror film now has an official title and premiere date. It will debut on July the 22nd, which is a Wednesday. And Washington, D.C. is the epicenter of this Sharknado. Ian Ziering returns, of course, Tara Reid.
Who do you think gets to say that line first? Is it Ian Ziering's character? Tara Reid, someone new?
I'm hoping it's David Hasselhoff who plays Ian's dad in the film.
So much goodness.
Oh, hell no.
My friend is in it.
I
know. She was cast in it because she, she basically made it so. She has a show on ESPN called Sports Nation, Michelle Beadle. And she basically went ballistic when she found out another guy on the show was on it. So she actively campaigned.
And got it.
On her show.
Good for her.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Until I got into Sharktopus. Sort of pushed my way in.
Whatever it takes, man.
Speaking of classic films, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, hell no.
No, it's not. It's just the title by itself.
Okay.
Remember those two guys, Bill and Ted?
Sure.
Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves, of course.
Sure.
Starred in the first film. And then the sequel, Bill and Ted's... Anybody remember the sequel's name?
Bill and Ted's... Continuous story line?
Excellenter Adventurers.
Better
I'm
times?
Asking because I literally don't remember what the
okay.
was.
Bogus Journey.
Bogus Journey. There you go.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave the King of Mexico. Alex Winter has announced that they're really close, just about there, to starting to film the third installment in the franchise. So some 25 years later, we're going to get another Bill and Ted movie.
Okay.
Excellent.
Is that something that we need to have?
Yeah. I think so. And what we may not need is another filmed version of the Louisa May Alcott classic book, Little Woman. Little Woman coming to big screens again.
Little Women?
Isn't it Women?
Yes.
Okay.
Little Women.
Oh, hell no.
What did I say?
Woman.
Woman? Just the one woman?
Yeah.
Well,
it's just
there's
one.
A lot
they were
of women.
Sisters.
Yeah. There's a bunch of women in this. They're little, but they're many.
Chip's family story.
Little Women's story has been produced, wait for it, in 1918 was the first movie.
Okay.
Then 1933, then 1949, then 1994, as well as a TV version in 1958, a miniseries in 1970, another miniseries in 1978. It's enough. It's enough, Little Women. There's plenty of Little Women out there. You want to watch Little Women? Go get yourself an ass full of Little Women. There's plenty of it.
That sounded all wrong.
The most recent movie version was the 1994 starring Winona Ryder, Kirsten Dunst, Claire Danes, Trini Alvarado, and Susan Sarandon. So you got that going for you, if that's what you like. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame! Hall of Fame! Class of 2015, the induction ceremony has been set April the 18th at Cleveland's Public Hall, of course, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's who's going to induct who.
Adele Dazeem.
Yes, she will induct Bill Withers. No. Paul McCartney is inducting Ringo Starr. Seems appropriate. Fallout Boy will induct Green Day into the hall. Patti Smith does the honors for the late, great Lou Reed. Stevie Wonder will induct Bill Withers. Peter Wolf of the Jay Giles Band brings in Paul Butterfield Blues Band. John Mayer will welcome in the late Stevie Ray Vaughan and his band Double Trouble. And Steve Cropper will induct the Five Royals. No word on who's going to bring in Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, but they're speculating it might be our buddy
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, Dave Grohl.
Ah.
Because he'll be performing that evening anyway, so we know they're pals. We're hoping maybe that'll happen. And you know how much my man Kevin loves Maroon 5, right? I don't have to tell you about that. He loves Maroon 5. We have established
Why
that early enough.
Why do you have to keep bringing this up?
Because you love Maroon 5.
But I don't
How many
really.
Times have you asked all of us to give some love to Maroon 5? I remember it as if it was yesterday.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
You're always asking us to give love to Maroon 5. Yeah. Well, Adam Levine does not love his fans as much as they love him.
Because?
He was performing in Toronto on Monday night, and there was a problem with the sound system. Adam got angry and slammed his mic down on the stage. Sadly, that microphone then bounced up in the air and nailed a girl named Stephanie right in the head.
Oh no.
Yeah.
There's a fan in the front
row? A fan in the front row. Got pegged with a microphone on the rebound.
Did she live?
Witnesses say Adam ran over to make sure she was okay, then lifted her up onto the stage and escorted her to a seat on the side of the stage so she could enjoy the rest of the show from the stage.
While bleeding out.
And signing a waiver.
Smart, though. Smart to, like, appease the herded fan.
The herded fan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to sue if you're all nice to her and you bring her up on stage and you're Adam Levine and you love her and you just put her in a chair, right? Take care of her, give her a foot rub.
This chair's just for you.
Yeah, you're the best. Oh, I love you so much.
Can I get you some tea or coffee?
Apparently she was okay, and thanks to Adam's quick thinking, insiders say the band probably won't get sued.
So who's right now?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Gotta give them love. They did the right thing.
That's right.
Maybe they shouldn't peg their fans in the head with microphones.
It's not ideal.
Maybe that's the way to go.
Will you be there on Friday?
Toronto, Canada?
Yeah.
I will. I'll be in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Friday through Sunday. Come out and see. Oh, no, don't come out and see. Our affiliates in Toronto there.
We don't have any affiliates.
I don't think so. Glenn Close is 68 years old today as we look at the celebrity birthdays. Actor Bruce Willis is 60 years old. Jorma Taccone from Lonely Island is 38. L.A. Clippers forward Hedo Turkoglu is 36 years old. That's Dave doing.
Yeah, it's just Dave.
Why do we have the Clippers on this?
19 points last night, baby, and a start. Yeah.
Is he on cocaine right now?
Whatever he's on, I wish he would overdose on it.
Take more.
And L.A. Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jim Rome is coming up. We'll talk sports with him. We also have Adam Carolla. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have a new feature we're going to try, which usually meets with disaster, so we're excited about that.
Exciting.
Pretty much all new features kill us a little bit, but we're going to give it a try. Why not? First, though, time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. If you want to help us with the production on the show, that's awesome.
Bean Baxter, you're pretty.
All right.
It's true.
Mine's not quite as good.
Kevin Ryder.
Also true.
Come on. But seriously, the Armenian comedian is A, real, and B, I'd say the most consistent person I've ever met. Somehow, every time you talk to him, it makes no sense. It's not even an accident. He doesn't even accidentally once say something that makes sense. Never.
Hey, everybody. April Fool's Day.
Yes, April Fool's Day. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Allie, you're getting some response. You want to hear some?
Not sure.
Yep.
So I heard Allie McKay dressed up like a spitting llama. I'd like Allie to spit on my llama. You get it? You get it, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys get it?
Yep.
You get it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
You get it?
Uh-huh.
Not that difficult, really, to get.
Allie McKay on K-Rock. Oh, yeah. The Wild Women. The Wild Women. They're ripping into terrorists. They're ripping into terrorists.
Do you remember
that
guy?
Yes.
That guy was so troubling. What was he in a nudist colony or something?
Yes.
And he was like 65.
Ripping and the tearing.
This is him.
Wild women. The wild women. The ripping and the tearing.
So gross.
Hey, Allie McKay. I guess you're now the designated person that I get to send all my special pictures to. You know, pictures of my balls.
Is that the best song ever?
Are we able to say balls during March Madness?
I don't have to check.
Yeah.
I just did, but I'll have to check on it.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Penis. How crazy is that?
Right?
I did say penis. I'm not exactly sure why. This girl just wants to taunt me. She just wants to poke me with a stick.
Kevin, do me a huge favor and just say the word internet. I just want a new game where Kevin says words. Say internet. Internet. Kevin.
Come on.
Say it.
Kevin says words.
Say internet.
Internet. I have to slow it down a little.
So slow.
I'm very slurry. I don't... Even when I'm not drunk, but...
What
are you going to do?
Give him the breathalyzer!
What are you going to do?
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. Kevin, you graduated from college with a degree in English? I'm sorry. Where can I get this university education that you got? I mean, seriously?
It was online, right?
I did actually graduate from college in English. What a disaster that turned out to be, huh? Who's ruined that language more than me? Yeah. And now these begin.
Hey, Ralph. I applied for a job at K-Rock, and, you know, I was just, like, kind of waiting around, and then the secretary, you know, she just kind of decided to say, will you please wait in the lobby?
Come on.
Will you please wait in the lobby?
I appreciate the attempt, but come on.
I don't hate it.
It's me calling, and I'm calling to let you know it's done. You have no worries. It's been done. Goodbye.
Cool. We don't know what that is about.
And if we did, we wouldn't admit to it.
Exactly.
What's up, party people? I just want to let you know my son started his spring fundraiser today. Had to sell candy bars. Went door-to-door for hours. Normally these things don't sell, but for some reason they were selling like hotcakes. Come to find out, we sold so much chocolate. We want a pizza party! We want a pizza party!
No! At least try to get the syllables right, right? The same number of syllables.
Oh.
We want party!
So I started out my morning. It was going really good. Made my coffee. On time to work. And then I get out to my car. I get in my car. Spill my coffee. I get in my car and spill my coffee! That's right. I get in my car and spill my coffee!
Look, I applaud the effort.
Yeah.
They actually put the music behind it.
I was going to say, they're the ones putting the music.
Yes.
Impressive.
Yes.
Okay, my 9-year-old and my 5-year-old have a message for Ralph Garman.
We go boo-boo in the potty. We go boo-boo in the potty. We go boo-boo in the potty.
What is happening?
Her children are getting in on it, and I like that parenting.
Her children are singing about poo-poo.
A rap song.
That's odd.
Good.
Guys, this has just been a terrible week for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nothing's gone my way. The only thing that would cheer me up is hearing DJ Omar Khan's remix of Get Lucky entitled Kevin and Bean Are Really Dumb.
Kevin and Bean are really dumb. Really bad and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
Sarah Abramson. Pretty dope, man. Hear about where the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully, Kevin, who's your girlfriend? Bobcat leaves, Gemma Arden. I can't say your last
name. Give it another guy.
What an idiot!
Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my bum. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
Woohoo!
All right, he's in there. What? Who's that?
Huh?
What? We just talked to him.
Yeah, what's up? Here's...
Kevin Bean are really dumb.
George St. Pierre, seems like he's been trying to take the top road.
And you're special on BS. What's the abbreviation you're especially you're doing on tonight?
See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal. You know what I'm saying? Leonardo DiCaprio. Penis. So we have Jim Rome on the way. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage and a bunch of other stuff. But right now I want to talk about this preacher that we highlighted yesterday. His name is Reverend Creflo Dollar. And he's asking people for money because he needs a state-of-the-art private plane, a jet, that costs $60 million. He needs that for his ministry.
We have offices on multiple continents, and our ministry stretches across television, personal appearances, and meeting the needs of people all over the world. So a plane is a vital part of the mission of our ministry.
Right. So everybody send money because the guy needs – it's better than a G6. We were looking it up yesterday.
Yeah. Well, he said if 200,000 people just committed to $300, he's good. How big is his ministry in Atlanta?
I don't know. I guess he's been in Atlanta for a long time, but wow. 200,000 people giving him $300.
That's a lot of people.
For a plane, you go, I don't know. Yeah. Are there other planes that don't work? But he needs his own plane. So we're trying to track down some information on the story. And we have the Reverend Ernest Sampson from the National Association of Televangelists on the line.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. How are you?
We're good. How are you, Reverend?
I am filled with the power of the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
And to you, my son.
Now, do you know this Dr. Creflo Dollar?
Oh, I know. I am very familiar with Pastor Dollar.
Okay.
Creflo.
And your thoughts?
Creffy. Creffy, as I call
Creffy.
Him.
Sure.
That's how close we are. Mm-hmm.
And your thoughts on him needing a $60 million private plane?
I wish him all of God's grace in the achievement of this goal, because it is true. As a televangelist, I can speak from this wisdom that you do need a private plane in order to save this lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Can you not fly on American Airlines or United or any of the existing airlines?
Of course you can, but that's not how God wants it.
Huh. And you know that?
Because God says, go forth and be not amongst those who kick the back of seats, but those who shall give you private packages of macadamia nuts and also endless refills of champagne.
I don't think that's actually a Bible verse.
Who's the preacher right now? That's what I'm asking.
All right.
Well, it's you, Reverend.
Thank you. That would be me.
Right. My question, just from the outside looking in, I'm not a member of his church.
Mm-hmm.
It seems really frivolous. It seems like maybe money could be spent elsewhere.
How?
Maybe in Atlanta.
How dare you question how the Lord works?
Well, is it the Lord?
Various ways, first of all, and second of all, with a Gulf Stream. The Lord works with a Gulf Stream.
Specifically?
He loves him some Gulf Streams, yes. Lord, the Lord saith unto thee, go forward and stream as the Gulf does.
That's not a Bible verse.
As the Gulf shall stream, so shall thee.
Nope.
Take thee unto the stream and dip thy Gulf into it and raise it up to the heavens so that Jesus may sip of the Gulf from the stream.
And that's in the book of, and the chapter, and
in
the verse.
Book of Harvey?
What?
How?
That's a book of the Bible?
The book of how?
How?
H-A-L. H-A-L.
The book of how?
How?
All right.
Chapter 72 and verse 8.
I don't think so.
Well, you have a Bible?
I don't have one right here
then
right now.
You're going to have to agree that I'm right. And so the Lord saith unto man, giveth of thy money, for it is filthy paper, and you shall have in return lighter wallets for you to carry without the burden of cash unto you, I say.
Book, chapter, and verse?
You're very picky about this stuff.
Well, you're quoting the quote scripture.
I'm telling you these things, and you're like, "Ooh, book chapter." I don't. It's not a history test. This is just the Word of God.
Right. But you're quoting it.
Right.
I'm just asking where you got the quote from.
Sometimes he talks, and people listen in my ear, and I say unto you, the Lord. Ooh, what's that, Lord? Shut up, he says to you.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't like you. He thinks you are a tool of Satan.
Wow.
I think you're just a tool.
Okay. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Just after the top of the hour, we've talked to Beer Mug about his betting. His gambling is just out of control.
Is he back again?
He's,
I thought he quit.
He says that he did.
I'm shut down my line. I could never bet again.
But,
until I say, please open that line.
And then a certain tournament begins today, and it's a great chance to gamble, and things go south. So.
You mean the month between March and April lunacy?
I do mean that, yes.
I listen to my lawyers. I know what's up. Allie McKay, when were you going to tell us that you write Scottish porn?
Yeah, I do. If you look up my name,
are you familiar with Allie McKay, the Scottish porn writer?
I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know if it's porn. I think it's more romantic.
Do you? Well, let me read you some of the titles of the books that Allie McKay has here available for purchase on Amazon.
All right.
Highlander in Her Bed.
Okay.
Right?
That sounds like more than romance to me. That sounds like she wants some haggis.
She wants
the old bagpipes. You know what I'm saying? Highlander in Her Dreams was the follow-up book. Huh. Must Love Kilts was the third book.
Wow.
Some Like It Kilted were the fourth book.
This person is
Tall,
a terrible
dark,
author.
And Kilted.
Tall, Dark, and Kilted.
Was the fifth,
come on.
The fifth book in the Highlander series. Someone sent me this heads up. Allie's writing Scottish porn. I did a little research, and apparently it's another Allie McKay. It's not our Allie McKay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you were aware of this, Allie?
I was, because somebody emailed me when I worked at KTLA, and they were like, hey, I'd love to get a signed copy of your book.
Of Highlander in Her Bed.
No problem. So I bought one and sent it off.
Of Bagpipes in My Hinder.
I don't think that's
one. That's one of the books. It will be soon, because I'm writing it.
That is awesome. My people are known as sheep stealers, so I'm surprised that hasn't entered into the book.
Your people are known as sheep stealers.
The Mackays. It's what we do.
You're sheep thieves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonder what you were stealing them for.
Yeah. I feel like that's code.
Speaking of sheep stealers, Ryan Seacrest back in the news. He's awful. He's wildly successful and rich, and I get that, but he's just awful. Remember his last game show that he tried to put on the air?
What was it?
It was, I forget what it was called, the 1 billion second march challenge.
Oh,
where you'd
that's
have to
right.
live inside a glass hourglass in Times Square.
It was in New York, yeah.
You'd sit in a chair and try to answer questions, and then some guy would hit the swap buzzer, and you have to get out of the chair and go to the other side of the room, and he would get a chance to answer the puzzle until they ordered Chinese food. Then if you got noodles, you'd have to go to the bottom of the hourglass, and then you'd have to try to juggle cutie tangerines, and if you got one of the tangerines in the hoop, then you would have double dumbass on you.
I remember going through that show for 10 minutes.
I'm not going too far in explaining to you how many rules there were in that game show.
That was not a good game show.
It was not a good game show. Well, he's back. Now he's got a new game show idea.
Okay.
His production is doing a new syndicated game show called Babushka.
So, I'm sorry, the name of the game show?
Babushka.
Okay.
Babushka, 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 yeah, yeah. Remember
nope.
By Kate Bush?
Nope.
Here's how you play Babushka.
All right.
Contestants are given 10 giant Russian nesting dolls.
Come on.
I'm in. I don't need to hear anymore.
Happening.
I'm not kidding.
Really?
You must open 8 of them for a chance to win up to $500,000. But if one of the dolls is empty inside, you lose all the money you've accumulated up to that point. But if there's another doll inside, then you get to continue. Let's play Babushka. This is a thing. This is going to be a thing.
Basically Deal or No Deal?
It is Deal or No Deal, but instead of suitcases, instead of briefcases, you have Russian nesting dolls.
Does he not have anyone in his life anymore that can say, hey, dumb, what
apparently
else you got?
There's no men in his life, only yes men. Here's my idea. Oh, you know how people like those Russian nesting dolls? Let's make them giant size and put money inside them. Ryan, you've done it again, man. High five.
That's brilliant.
High five. Get on your step stool and give me a high five. Come here, Ryan.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
People in Russia wouldn't watch this.
No.
Let alone America.
This is what happens when you get some success, because he was behind the Kardashians, right?
Yes.
So basically, whatever
American
he said.
Idol, of course, a huge hit forever.
Yeah. Everybody's like, well, it's Ryan. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
But it's about nesting dolls.
Babushka, we are on. Babushka, even the name is dumbass.
So this has been greenlit. It's happening.
It's happening. His production company is doing the syndicated game show, so I'm guessing none of the networks were...
Yeah.
Setting his phone on fire, but someone picked it up, and it's going to be somewhere on television, and I, for one, can't wait.
I'll watch that once.
Hell yeah, we'll
I'll watch it once, because that's going to be awesomely bad.
Congratulations to Robin Thicke and his wife Paula Patton. They're officially divorced now. Divorce was granted on St. Patrick's Day, and People Magazine says the marriage will be officially over on April the 14th. I guess there's a certain waiting period after the papers are filed. They have one son. I did not know this. I wish we had known this when we were talking about bad middle names. Remember we did that call-in topic?
Yes, sure.
Julian Thicke is the name of their son. He'll turn 5 in April. His middle name? Fuego.
Really?
Julian Fuego Thicke. Oh, I hope he plays on Babushka. I hope he's one of the contestants on Babushka. Welcome Fuego to Babushka. People are so dumb.
That's a terrible game.
And speaking of the... children of celebrities. Everyone is all a Twitter, literally, over the Twitter avatar of a young lady named Haley Mathers. Do you know Haley Mathers?
I do not.
I would say Mathers.
Marshall Mathers?
The Beaver or Eminem?
Eminem?
Really?
Pretty topical.
It's reaching back to Jerry Mathers, the Beaver from Leave It to Beaver. Haley Mathers is the daughter of Eminem.
Okay.
And he talked about her quite a bit in his rapping.
Yeah, she was on a song called My Dad's Gone Crazy.
That's right.
She's very cute.
Well, now she's 19 years old.
19.
And someone discovered her avatar and has been posting it online, and people are blowing up saying, she's gorgeous, she should be a model. Is she going to be an actress? Is she going to be a rapper? She should get in the family business. She's stunning. No. She has no interest in show business. She is the homecoming queen, former homecoming queen. And from her high school, she graduated with a 3.99 grade point average.
All right.
Now she's pursuing a degree in Michigan State University and plans to go on to a career in business.
How about that?
Yeah. Imagine that, coming out of that family.
Yeah, no kidding.
Eminem and the crazy mom.
Yeah.
And she's got a 3.9 GPA and she's...
How does that happen with kids? That kid is resilient.
Maybe they just go the opposite way, whatever. That's her rebelling. It's like to get a good education.
I'll show
like
you. I'm going to get good grades.
I'm going to be smart and sane. I'll teach you. All right. Quick email before I get to the celebrity birthdays. We got Jim Rome, of course, on today talking about sports.
We do.
Joe Redman wrote in. We were talking about football. And he said, all this talk about football has got me thinking about the best coaches in NFL history, he said. Of course, Patriots won the Super Bowl last month. Belichick and Chuck Knoll both have 4 rings, so they're obviously 2 of the best. I also think that Bill Walsh, who has 3 rings, is pretty great. Parcells and Tom Coughlin both have 2, so they have to be considered as well. But as much as I love them all, I think my favorite is Vince Lombardi.
I woke up in a noble bed. I think my favorite is Vince Lombardi.
Not bad.
Joe Redman.
Not bad, Joe.
Not bad, Joe. We like it. Good work. Fresh. Today. Happening. Hip.
Take it easy. That's none of those things.
See what you're doing.
Hip is Babushka.
Beaver.
Jerry Mathers. Today's celebrity birthdays. Glenn Close is 68. Actor Bruce Willis is 60. Dormit Tacone from The Lonely Island is 38. Hedo Turkoglu. L.A. Clippers forward, he is 36 years old, and Clayton Kershaw of your Los Angeles Dodgers celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last night I filled out my bracket, and it's the winning bracket. So, I mean, I guess if you want to go to krock.com, you can click on it. You have to get in your picks by 9. You could win $5,000, but you're not going to beat me, so what's the point?
What do you win?
I think I win $5,000.
No, you don't.
I don't?
No.
Why am I doing it?
You're exactly.
Why? Wait.
That's why I didn't.
I did a lot of research last night.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you can play against listeners, but you don't win. What?
That doesn't make sense.
No.
And then I entered the morning show one and saved it, and I was all proud of it. And then I came in this morning, and Christine, who is running the morning show pool, she said, you haven't entered yet. I was like, no. What are you talking about? I entered some pool somewhere. I don't know. Here's a pretty good one, though. I hope it comes through. So now I'm redoing the morning show pool, and that brings me to Beer Mug. I'm a little worried about you, my friend, who have a bit of a gambling problem.
Got both of my brackets filled out already, Kevin and Allie.
Good. Thank
both
God.
Of them filled out, ready to rock. 97%.
Right. But oh. I'm saying you told us that one day. Then the next day you were $2,500 in the hole.
Yeah.
How much of that have you paid back?
Zip.
Okay.
You and haven't paid any of it back?
Nothing.
Have you reopened the line and been betting again?
You'll be proud of me, Allie. I have not.
Right. But my point is he's going
the
to.
The tournament starts right.
I mean, yeah. it's this yeah. tournament is all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be hard.
I'm just saying don't do it because you already owe $2,500 and you don't have any way of paying that.
That's like telling a crack addict not to go out for his next fix.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's the same? What's the song that you did, Mugs?
This is a song that I like to, it's based off my gambling problems and my gambling history that we've talked about on the show. And okay. It's called Paycheck.
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 And it's a parody of what?
Taylor Swift's Blank Space.
Okay. Why?
Well, I know you hate T-Swizzle.
Yes.
But Bean loves him, uh-huh. loves her, and she's not here, or he's not here, but, you know, when he gets back, he'll like it.
That's a great answer. All right.
All right, Taylor, don't sue me, because you're worth like $200 million, okay?
I just need to win all the money that I bet in a day. Mavericks, Thunder, Blazers, Suns, saw them there and I thought, oh my gosh, look at those teams, they'll probably be my next mistake. I like those matchups, gonna pay. Oh. A 50s, hundreds, I will spend. I'll collect more if I bet a lot. Call my bookie, he will buy. The lie I tell him that I'll pay him back. So hey, I can win if I hit 97%. Take this cash wad in my hand. My March Madness pick'ems are gonna win this weekend. So I'm gonna take my savings, place it on the NBA. Won't watch till it's over, cause if I lose I'll be in pain. Might as well take the Zippo lighter, then just place the flame underneath my entire wallet. But I'll bet the game, cause I'm dumb and I'm careless. Take betting way too far. I'll incur real huge debt, then they'll repo my car. I'll just dig my hole deeper. You'll tell me I'm insane. But just got my paycheck, baby, and I'll bet the game.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's all about the NBA.
I know.
That doesn't even start to talk about college basketball.
I had March Madness in there, Kevin. There was a March Madness line.
Things all my March, go,
they're going to go south, but they're all going to win this
you're
weekend.
You're going to go so poorly for you. And you're going to die, and we're not going to have to fire you, so thank you.
All
right, we're going to give away some tickets for Get Hard. We have the premiere of Get Hard. This is the new Will Ferrell movie. I was not aware of this until yesterday after the meeting, and I was told that Rodney Bingenheimer is a huge Will Ferrell movie fan.
Wow.
Now, I know him as an expert on the 80s music.
Sure.
But and he also apparently knows a lot of jokes. We've done that before. But this is Will Ferrell movies. So we're going to ask you to call us at 1-800-520-1067 and stump Rodney with any question about Will Ferrell movies. And then if you stump him, you'll win the tickets.
Any question.
Rodney will be here. Any question he says he can answer. Hmm. So we'll do you call now. We'll do that next.
Deny my dear.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock. Rodney on the Rock Show.
It's Kevin and Bean Show.
That was the Beach Boys with
Mumford and Sons.
Watch You All the Time.
Nope.
With banjos. Beach hey. Boys and the Banjo Boys.
Hey, Rodney, we're giving and away tickets to...
Rodney on the Rock Show in the morning. Finally, they put me on in the mornings.
Rodney, it's still the Kevin and Bean Show.
Instead of the enemy.
We're giving away passes to the premiere of Get Hard.
All right, hard.
March 25th. And you
wins.
And you qualify to win a grand prize trip for two to San Francisco. You get airfare, hotel, a trip to Alcatraz, and $500 spending cash.
I went to the San Francisco once with Sonny and Cher.
That's a great story.
And
all
we,
right.
They used to go there all the time because they would perform there. And I remember once Sonny and Cher were there.
Okay. All right. Good. Now, I've been told that you love Will Ferrell movies.
All right. Will Ferrell.
Okay. So that's true?
I know everything about Will Ferrell.
Okay. Excellent.
And 80s music.
80s music and Will Ferrell.
Those are my two passions.
That's a weird...
Will Ferrell and 80s music.
Okay.
What's your favorite Will Ferrell movie? Do you have one?
All of them are the best.
Yeah.
My
all right.
favorite probably... Casa de mi Padre.
The one all in Spanish?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time to stump Rodney.
Can you stump Rodney? Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
Wigwam bam.
Why did you say that? Why wigwam bam?
Because.
Okay. Let's start with...
Take a wig and you hit someone with it.
Let's start with
wig,
Mike.
Wham, bam.
In Long Beach. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
All right, Mike.
Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Mike.
Is this Mike Love of the Beach Boys?
No.
Well, let him answer.
Sorry, is it?
You don't know.
Mike, right. Are you in the Beach Boys?
Could be.
No, that was a past life.
Oh, past life. Okay.
Got it.
All right.
All right, stop, Rodney.
All right. So in Old School, what did Will Ferrell shoot himself in the neck with?
Old School shoot self neck. Devo.
Does that Devo? Is it Devo, Mike?
Fan Devo.
No, unfortunately not. It was a tranquilizer dart.
Well, right. What did I win?
You didn't win. But Mike won passes to the premiere, and he gets in the drawing for the trip to San Francisco. So
I
that's
did
how
all
it's
the
done.
Work.
You didn't do anything except for give a wrong answer.
All right.
Adam
Will Ferrell.
Adam in Corona. Hi.
Hello.
Test.
Hello.
Stump Rodney. Would you give him a little test?
Is this Adam Ant?
Almost, yeah.
All right.
Yes, okay,
love
yes.
You.
It's great news.
Goody two-shoes.
What was Will Ferrell's first movie?
First movie? Funky Town.
Mm. I got to rent that. I didn't know that existed. Mm. Is it Funky Town?
Negative.
Oh.
It is A Bucket of Blood.
Bucket of Blood.
Are you familiar with that one, Rodney? I'm not.
I'm not either. Well, sounds awesome.
Okay. All right. Let's go
Twins.
To Joey in Long Beach. Hi there.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Stump Rodney. Good luck. He's really been on fire.
What is Will Ferrell's middle name?
Sinead O'Connor.
Got it.
All right.
Oh, wow.
What did I win?
What?
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's William.
I think we have to agree to disagree on this one.
Well, I'm more sure that you're wrong than that he's wrong, so I'm going to say he wins.
Pretty sure it's Sinead O'Connor.
I don't think so.
I'm going to go with Joey.
He's Irish.
Yeah, no.
All right.
Tom in La Mirada. Tom, hello.
Good morning.
I feel like I've been steered wrong, Rodney. I feel like you don't know anything
I
about
know
Will Ferrell
everything
movies.
Everything about Will
well,
Ferrell.
Okay.
All right.
Tom, stump Rodney.
All right. What famous baseball announcer does Will Ferrell impersonate?
Rick Astley. All right.
Is Rick Astley a baseball announcer?
Rick Roll. I'm going to give you up.
The correct answer is Harry Carey.
He comes
well
with an impression
done,
as well.
His voice just changed.
Nice
he
job.
Sounds like a different person
He's
now.
Doing an impression of Harry Carey.
What?
Oh, never.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Kelsey. We only have one pair left.
Bob
Kelsey.
Geldof.
Let's wait for the question.
Oh, all right.
And then you can answer. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey, guys.
Stump Rodney.
My question is, at what school did they shoot Old School at?
What school?
What school did they shoot Old School at?
Flock of Seagulls.
I think
that's an 80s band. Yeah, I don't know that that's a school.
University of Flock of Seagulls.
No, just adding university doesn't make
it. Is that
a
it, Kelsey?
Flock of Seagulls High.
No, it's not. Not even a little bit.
Oh, not even a little bit. Okay.
Flock of Seagulls Middle School.
All right. Nope. The answer, please.
UCLA.
UCLA.
All right.
Yep. You've heard of that, right, Rodney? UCLA?
UCLA.
Okay. Congratulations. You got tickets to the movie.
Awesome.
And everybody, it turns out, stumped Rodney.
Let's all.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
We have Jim Rome just after the top of the hour giving his thoughts on March Madness and what's coming up in the next 3 weeks, which is just going to be fantastic. We have Adam Carolla. We have Dr. Drew. Ralph, what would you say our success rate is with new bids? 10%?
97%.
But seriously, like, we try a lot of stuff.
I think we're 50-50.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I think we're 37.
Oh, you're crazy.
At best.
Everything we do is a new bid at one point. Think about
that. No, I understand
everything
that.
Everything we do.
But a lot of bits that we stopped doing because we tried and failed.
Yeah, but no, I don't buy it.
All right, we had the story the other day about the dancing man. Mm-hmm. It's the guy.
Dancing man.
This is.
He has a plan. He is the dancing man.
This is the fat guy that was dancing and then.
He was shamed.
Shamed for being fat. There was a picture of him, like, with his head down. Everybody got sad. A bunch of girls from Southern California.
A bunch of women said, we want to dance with you. Come dance with us.
Right.
We'll never have sex with you, but we will dance with you.
And
they said, giving him false hope.
And it was a feel good story, though.
It was a feel good story.
I think you're missing the part.
Yeah, I think the point was. No. The guy was just elated now.
Right.
He feels great about life.
Now
the
he can be disappointed at a whole new level.
Now, that's not
the
point here.
Yeah,
the point is people love stories that end well.
Human interest stories that give you faith in humanity.
People love that.
Renew your belief that sometimes good things can happen.
Correct.
Yes.
Good news.
So this is called I Feel Good.
Ah, I feel good.
Allie is going to read us some stories, and then we're all going to feel good about the world that we live in.
The Kevin and Bean Show is going to take a positive
viewpoint.
Yep.
Well, we're going to try.
Well, this is going to fail. I
think it might.
It's just not what we do.
What happened to your 50-50?
This is the 50.
Okay. All right, let's give it a try.
Okay, let's give it a try. First off, we're going to go to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Oh, dear. Where there's an eighth grader who's also a cheerleader. Her name is Desiree Andrews.
Desiree!
Okay.
Not really the point yet.
Okay.
She also happens to have Down syndrome.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
She's out there cheering her little heart out for her middle school. She starts getting bullied, taunted from the stands. What do you think happens next, Ralph?
Who's taunting her?
People in the stands. People from the other school.
Oh, the other school.
Yeah.
What happens?
What happens next?
What sport is she cheering for
this
now?
This is basketball.
Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
What I hope happens is the basketball team
beats up the fans.
Lies in wait in the parking lot with tire irons and splits the skulls of everyone who taunted her.
An interesting twist. No, instead, three members of the basketball team said, no, we are not going to put up with this. Walked over, tried to get the guys and girls, stop
mm-hmm.
bullying.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, so they walked out. They walked out of their own game in support of the little cheerleader, Desiree.
That's pretty strong.
Right?
Because
just coming together saying, we are not going to tolerate this.
Wow, so they quit.
Well, that's not the point. The point is that solidarity, it's the support that they were showing for the cheerleader.
So we're going to show you how much we care about you by quitting.
Why don't...
Ralph.
Wouldn't it have been much more... Wouldn't that story have a better ending if they rose up and defeated the other team and mocked them and said, F you, mockers!
That is one way of looking at it.
That's how the movie would end. If there was a movie,
wrong way.
It wouldn't be like, hey, let's support Desiree. Who wants to go get a Coke? And they all walk out of the gymnasium.
I don't think it's who wants to get a Coke. I think they're taking a stand that they're not going to play.
I bet Desiree didn't quit. I bet Desiree was still there shaking her little pom-poms.
You're missing the point.
Oh, let's go to the next story.
I don't
understand this at all.
All right, here's one out of Farmington, New Hampshire. Historic levels of snow, you guys, back there. So a cop was watching this guy walk through a crosswalk thinking, he's actually sticking to the crosswalk. He's not walking over the snowbank into the street where it's actually plowed. He's walking through this little itty-bitty area. I wish I could reward him in some way.
Hmm.
So you know what he did?
What
they
shot
came
him?
Up. No. See, not
okay, I'm sorry.
Where we're going.
Waited for him in wait with a tire iron and split his skull open?
No.
Oh, all right.
No.
What did he do?
They have now decided a fun project, ticketing people for doing the right thing, sticking to the crosswalks, cleaning up after your dog. They give you a ticket, which is really like, hey, here's some free pizza.
So
that's
is it
awesome?
Is it a reward? Does that
it's
money?
It's a reward.
Does it have?
It's gift certificates
it's gift
for
certificate.
Different things, and now the whole town's getting together. Like, hey, I want to be a part of this.
So it's positive
this
reinforcement
great.
For doing the right thing.
Yes.
How little crime do they have in this town if they have cops giving out coupons?
How dare you ask that?
How little crime?
I will tell you, it's not free of crime. Only a population of 6,800, and there were 22 violent crimes since 2013.
22 violent crimes in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So they have time.
They have time to give out coupons there.
Listen, this could sweep the nation.
No, it couldn't. You know why? Because we have real lives. We don't all live in bum F, Wisconsin, or wherever the hell
that
this is.
That was Farmington, New Hampshire.
Farmington, New Hampshire. Go there and start a crime spree while the cops are handing out coupons. I'm going to get rich.
Okay. Let's see how you could make this a bad story, Ralph.
I can make anything bad.
There is a 45-year-old man. His name is Arlie Smith. He has worked at a Costco in Danville for over 2 decades.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yes. Who wouldn't want to spend 2 decades working at a big, large box store?
Wait for it.
All right.
He has been diagnosed with terminal bone cancer.
Oh, crap. This
Only
guy's life is the worst thing I've ever heard of.
2 years to live. So what do customers who love Arlie so much do? They get together. They call themselves Arlie's Angels. They decide, let's send him and his wife on an amazing vacation. They present Arlie with a check and a vacation to Laguna Beach. Go spend some time. Enjoy yourself.
Wow.
That's
right?
Pretty cool.
That's nice.
Let's wait until he's in agonizing bone pain before we send him on a vacation so he can truly enjoy it. Where were these people when Arlie could live a life and be happy? Where was the vacation then?
Well, I don't think he...
For the past 2 decades, you know, he's been doing stocking giant pallets of giant jars of mayonnaise.
You did
for
find
his whole
way,
life
didn't
for
you?
2 decades, not one vacation.
Bro.
Now he's got debilitating bone pain and they're going to send him to lay in the hot sun. This sounds like a great time. F these people.
Wow.
Where were they when he needed them?
This bit is I feel good.
I feel good.
Wow. I feel good.
I'm not positive you're getting that part.
Okay, maybe, okay.
A little too little
this
too late,
one,
I think, for Arlie.
Right. I know you're more of a DC Comics guy, right,
I
than
am
Marvel.
A big DC Comics
okay,
guy.
Well, this one is more Marvel-based.
All right.
Out of Birmingham, England.
You've got them already. Good, right. Good
yeah.
start.
I'm against you already.
Loaded. A guy, after his job as a bartender, goes out and feeds the homeless.
Okay.
Great, right? Wonderful.
Okay.
Nobody really cares because, okay, this guy feeding the homeless.
Right.
But what if said guy dressed as Spider-Man every night? Full costume. You can't see his face. Anything.
So nobody knows who he is.
Nobody knows who he is. But because of this, he has gotten so much attention from people that are like, dude, Spider-Man, what are you doing? He's like,
Spider-Man
I'm feeding the homeless.
Gave me some
food. And then because of that, people are like, well, I'm in. How can I help? He's changing his charity to get more people involved just by putting on a costume.
That's admirable.
Right?
So that's your people, Ralph.
Yeah.
So he's putting on a costume.
Yes.
To give out food to homeless people.
Yeah.
But he's doing it anonymous so
he can be secretive about
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So he doesn't get rewarded?
He doesn't get rewarded,
attention?
But more people
it.
That are seeing
are
this.
Are they dressing up as superheroes too? The
maybe
other people are helping?
Because
I think we're going to have homeless Avengers who go around just handing out food dressed as Thor and Iron Man and stuff. And
that's where you went.
Instead of saving the world, they're just going to give burgers out to junkies.
I'd watch the Homeless Avengers.
Homeless Avengers.
I think I would watch that movie. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53. Got Jim Rome just after the top of the hour. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Frank.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about tickets to see The Offspring?
Yay!
Offspring are playing in town July the 30th at the Pacific Amphitheater, and also July the 31st at the Palladium. Tickets for both shows go on sale Saturday at 10 a.m. But you, my good friend, you'll get to choose which show you'd like to see. The Pacific Amphitheater show on the 30th of July or July 31st show at the Palladium. Why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you're an Offspring fan and you are caller number 30, you will get your choice of shows. Get a pair of tickets to see The Offspring. And as I mentioned, if you don't win, you can buy your tickets on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. Chip, you going to go?
Yep.
You got your tickets?
Sure.
She lied.
Wow.
Sure, she lied.
Sure.
Kevin, your girlfriend's in trouble.
My girlfriend.
Yep. Liza Minnelli. No, you love yourself some Liza Minnelli.
Ugh.
Her spokesperson released a statement this week saying she was valiantly battling substance abuse and making excellent progress in an undisclosed facility. Liza, who's now 69 years old, has had a history of substance abuse, battling back and forth. And I say at 69, just let it go. Just enjoy yourself. Just pop open a bottle of whatever you like and knock back a couple pills and wash it down and just have a good time. At 69, really going to fight the good fight at 69? Just let it go. Enjoy yourself. How long do you have left?
But
load up. Load up.
Seems young still.
I'm saying load up. Look, she's not. By the way, she's not a spry 69.
No, she's a 69.
She's not running marathons.
No.
She's not
a 69 going on 89.
Right. So I'm saying, how long does she have left? She might as well enjoy those years.
I think maybe that would have been good advice had she not lived her life that way up until now, but she's had a rough.
That's my point, Kevin. It's just too late. Just pull the ripcord. Have a good time. Have a good time.
Are we still in the last segment?
Well, I'm just saying, does she just want to white knuckle and just, all right, for the next 6.5 crappy years of my life, I'm just going to bear down and just, boy, I wish I had a drink. I'm just going to live my life that way for the rest of the time?
Well, I think she'll
come on. Come on.
6.5 years.
That's Liza. Liza, come on. Shots.
That's your death pool,
shots
then.
On me, Liza.
Come on.
You and me, some Jaeger bombs. Let's part hey. You know what comes for part B, Kevin?
Part A.
Just saying. Liza.
Yeah.
Sharknado 3. It's official. It's happening. Washington, D.C. will be the site of the Sharknado attack this time around.
Oh, so they can use the White House.
Oh, yeah.
The Pentagon.
The president.
Sure. Yeah.
I forget who's playing the president. It's somebody good. I think it's Gary Busey or...
I hope that's
or
it.
Charlie Sheen
that would
or somebody.
Be awesome.
It's somebody good.
Gary Busey, the president.
Hey, anyone in the other room, if you're still listening to the show, do some research to find who's playing the president in Sharknado 3. Do a little work.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't believe that's him.
It'd be awesome, though, wouldn't it?
It would be. Wednesday, July the 22nd, it's officially been released, will be the premiere date of Sharknado 3. And now we have a title. As you may remember, Sharknado was simply called that. Then the second one was called Sharknado 2, the second one.
By the way, which was, I think, equal to the first. I mean, it was
amazing.
They really nailed the act, the tone and
yes.
the cheesiness of it. That's a rough thing to do, and they did it.
Hard to live up to the original, but they did so in the sequel. And now I'm holding out the same hopes for Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. Is the title of that.
You think all the actors and actresses are battling over... Please tell me I get to say that first.
Ooh, get that
I get to say that line, right? Oh, hell no.
Ian Ziering, Tara Reid return. And now we get to meet their parents as well. David Hasselhoff will play Ian's dad. And Bo Derek will play Tara Reid's mother. So hope they get together and have a little romance. That'd be great. Sleepy Hollow fans... Fox has renewed the series for a third season of 18 episodes. It's good news for you guys. Also, speaking of television, did you watch that new detective show over on Amazon called Bosch? Have you checked that out at all?
No, I don't know that.
With Titus Welliver? It's based on a series of books around this character, Bosch, who's an L.A. detective. And it is really good. I'm a big Titus Welliver fan. If you saw him, character actor, you'd know him for sure. But I love cop shows, and this is a real good one. You can see it on Amazon Prime Instant Video, and it's the most watched title of all the original programming over there on Amazon. So you may want to check it out. They have just renewed that series as well. There'll be more episodes of that for those of us who are enjoying it. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In the class of 2015 will be inducted on April the 18th at Cleveland's Public Hall. Now we know who's going to bring out whom. Paul McCartney will induct his good buddy Ringo Starr.
All right, let me just interrupt there for 1 second.
Yes, Kevin.
Ringo Starr.
Yes, for Ringo Starr.
Yeah, for his non-Beatles stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All I've got is a photograph and it feels like we're not coming back anymore.
If he's not a Beatle, does he get in for that material?
Yes.
No, he does not, sir.
Absolutely.
All right.
Back off, Boogaloo, I said, back off, Boogaloo.
That's the second one. I don't even recognize it.
It's a hit.
Nope.
That's bullshit.
Oh, you don't know, man.
I don't know.
Back
no,
off, Boogaloo?
It don't come easy, pal.
Oh, I've heard that.
It'll be the time
he's not a Beatle. He's not getting in the Hall of Fame.
No, it ain't gonna be easy.
And then there was...
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Come on, man.
All right, continue, sorry.
Fall Out Boy is going to induct Green Day. Patti Smith will do it for the late Lou Reed. Stevie Wonder will induct Bill Withers. Lean on me.
Like that song.
Peter Wolf of the Jay Giles Band will bring out the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. John Mayer welcomes the late Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble into the hall. And Steve Cropper, legendary musician. Steve Cropper inducts the five Royals. So far, the only one we don't know who will induct Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. But some folks are saying Dave Grohl, who will be there performing that evening, may do the honors, which makes sense because I know they're pals. And they,
Dave Grohl plays with every band that has ever existed.
He likes music,
he loves it.
He likes to play music.
He's great at it. They all love him.
Yes.
Perfect.
Everybody enjoys themselves around Dave. Hey, you want to be on Big Brother 17? That's right. Season 17 of Big Brother?
That's still a show that's
on? It's a thing, and it's a show, and it's a CBS. It's a great CBS show.
I love it.
Hosted by a wonderful lady.
A lovely, beautiful woman who has excellent taste in husbands.
Yep.
I couldn't love it more.
If you would like to participate on Big Brother 17, they're having an open casting call this Saturday, March the 21st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Besso Hollywood. Besso Hollywood, located at 6350 Hollywood Boulevard.
We need to get the Armenian comedian on that show.
Oh,
that would be great. That, everybody would hate
him.
He
would win. He would win because everybody would just say, I'm out. And they would just walk out the door. It would be like a week. The whole show would last 3 days. You would just drive people out the door.
With his no teeth and his no hair.
That's
and his,
right.
It's just a nightmare.
So once again, this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Besso Hollywood. On Hollywood Boulevard, 6350, if you want to try out for Big Brother 17. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Clayton Kershaw of your Los Angeles Dodgers is 27 years old. L.A. Clippers forward Hedo Turkoglu, he's 36. Jorma Taccone is 38. You know him from Lonely Island. Bruce Willis turned 60. And actress Glenn Close is 68. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock every Thursday. At this time, we check in with Jim Rome. Good morning, Jim.
Kevin. Jim. Allie, what's up, kids?
Hey, Jim.
Jim Rome, The Beast 980, 9 a.m. to noon. Let's talk, well, we're going to talk Final Four, let's be honest. That's the big story. But let's start with the NFL and Chris Borland. Let's start with that because that's a bizarre story.
Yeah, it really was. He played 1 year for the 49ers. He had a really, really good rookie year, and he just up and retired. Just announced that I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to call it a career, which a lot of people are like, who does that sort of thing, and why would you do it? Fact of the matter is he thought that the risk was not worth the reward, and he's just not going to play. So the question is he an outlier, or is this going to be a trend? You know, to me, I just don't see guys with promising careers leaving all that money on the table. I think that the league probably should be worried in the sense that not the guys are going to start leaving, Kevin, but I think that parents are going to look at this and say, if a pro player getting paid who's going to have a great career thinks it's not worth the risk, then there's no way it's worth the risk for our kids. So I think that people will see this and maybe not let their kids play football, but they'll always watch and they'll bet on the NFL.
Did he get a concussion last season or was it in practice? Well,
not officially diagnosed.
Not officially.
Yeah.
Not officially diagnosed, but what happened was he got one in training camp. And, you know, at that point, he's trying to make the team. He's trying to make a good presentation of himself. So he just kind of muscles through and soldiers on. But he wasn't right. He wasn't right. And it scared him. And he thought to himself, hey, if this is what this is all about and this is the way I'm going to go through my career, maybe it's not worth it. So it happened in training camp. And even at that point, he was telling his family, just so you all know, I'm not going to have a long career. In fact, this might be it.
Wow. And that's 24. A guy who's probably played football his entire life to get to that point.
You know, imagine spending your entire life working towards this one goal, to play football, to get a piece of the life. But, I mean, that's what makes this guy so different. He's 24, and there's a number of other guys who are like, I know exactly what I signed up for. I don't care how I'm going to feel at 50. I don't care how I'm going to care how I'm going to feel at 55. It's worth it. I want to get paid. I love doing this thing. And, I mean, who at 24 makes a decision like that? I think that's what makes him an outlier. It's a really unusual thing for a young guy to do.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's go to the NCAA. Let's go to March Madness, which you have said, I believe, is your favorite event.
Best event in all of sports. I mean, better than the Super Bowl, better than the NBA Finals, better than the World Series. Just by far the best thing ever because of the format. It's not a best 4 out of 7. It's single elimination. You have a bad night. You go home. You survive. You advance. You win 6 straight. I mean, the thing I love about it, for instance, my wife, who knows nothing about any of the teams or the players or the coaches, she can sit and watch it for hours because you get so caught up in the drama. I mean, even if you don't know what you're watching, you get the drama because you've got underdogs that have never been there and they can rise up and beat the best of the best. And it always happens. And unlike the Super Bowl, the tournament never disappoints.
Yeah, it's always great. There are always upsets. I've spent the last couple of days doing brackets and filling in what could possibly happen. And Kentucky, I think, is the runaway favorite, right? I mean, as far as there can be in this tournament.
Not in my bracket.
Not in your bracket.
Allie, who do you have?
I have Villanova winning it all.
You do?
Yep.
Why?
because I don't want Kentucky to win.
Okay.
Oh, well, you're here to hate. You're here to
here
hate.
To hate.
What are they going to do to you?
Judd, no. I just think there's no way that Kentucky will win. With as amazing as they are, I'll put them up against the Knicks. No. They are going to crash and burn.
What is?
They'd beat the Knicks for sure.
Crash and burn? Jim, what do you think? Because a lot of people are taking Kentucky versus the field. I'll just take Kentucky to win the whole thing. And to me, that's dumb. But
yeah, right, exactly. My thing is, whenever everybody in the world is going one way, you have to go the other way. Except I'm not doing it this time. I think they're that good. There's a reason why everybody's going with these guys. Mm-mm. They're 34-0. They're so deep, and they're so long, and they're so athletic. I mean, they're just that good. They're really that good. Now, the beauty of the tournament is anything can happen. If they have a really, really bad night and somebody else has their best night, then Kentucky's going down. I just don't see it happening.
How much does coaching play a part? I would imagine more in college than pro.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. Especially come tournament time, you know the coaches that have had success. There's a reason why you see the same guys having the same types of success in the tournament all the time. They've got great players, but you know, there's a trick to it. Like that first weekend, if you've got to coach two games, you got to be ready actually for both games. And if you've been there before, you know the process, you know how to get your team ready, you know how to handle the pressure. Coaching is a big thing, but hey, look, without the horses, without the players, you're not going to win. But coaching does matter. For instance, UCLA-SMU.
Yes.
UCLA has taken a beating since Selection Sunday, and deservedly so, by the way. They've got no business being in that field. They shouldn't be there. That was a gift from the selection committee. They better make the most of it. But if you want to talk coaches, SMU coach Larry Brown outcoached Phil Jackson in the NBA Finals. I'm guessing he can handle an overmatched Steve Alford in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
All right.
Coaching alone, I'm going Michigan State Elite Eight.
Exactly.
Yep.
Spitting knowledge.
Right?
Spitting knowledge, Allie.
It's a gift.
Tom Izzo is a great tournament coach.
Yes.
Are the coaches more important because the players are so young and still prone to making mistakes and all kinds of other stuff? By the time they get to the pros, they've kind of worked a lot of that out, but...
Yes. By the time they've gotten to the pros, generally they're, quote, grown-ass men. But, I mean, imagine all the pressure that comes on a kid's shoulder who's 18 or 19 or 20 and maybe they've never been in this situation before, it's a very different thing. I mean, that's a huge, huge platform and stage for these kids, which makes it great because a lot of them haven't been there. And all of a sudden, they're in this mid-major or this small college, and they're in front of 8 billion people playing one of the true blue bloods. That's what makes it so compelling because sometimes they do get over and they do win.
All right, so you don't fill out any brackets, but if you would, you'd go Kentucky.
I like Kentucky.
They're just that good.
I like Kentucky, but there's one great Cinderella, too.
Yeah,
everybody loves that. UC Irvine, baby.
UC Irvine.
Wow.
Given that UCLA jumped the line, and nobody likes people who cut in line, Team SoCal is the Anteaters. They've got the tallest player in the nation. In fact, the tallest player in the NBA. This guy, Mamadou Njai, is 7'6".
What?
They've got Louisville, 7'6", Allie.
Do I have time? 7'6". Do I have time to change my bracket?
Nope.
No, man. No, it's in 10.
UC Irvine. So how far do you see them going?
Well, how far I see them going and how far I want them to go. They play Louisville in the first round, and Louisville is obviously way, way, much the favorite in this. I think they're a little overrated. I think that Irvine can pull the shocker, but basically I'm homing for the local team. I want them to win because I love the story. And if they do, they're headed to my favorite Mexican restaurant in Irvine, Javier's.
But
if they're not, Kevin, I am.
That's where I wanted to go, right there.
Going
right
to Javier's, there. Yo.
You get a free meal for that, do you, Jim?
No. In fact, you know how that is. I hate it when people name drop stuff, but man, I love Javier.
What about Gonzaga, who has been a Cinderella team many, many times, but maybe this year has a better team than ever?
Love them. I think it's a great point you bring up. They have not been to the Sweet 16 since 2009, so every year you think they're there and they're going to get it done. They haven't lately, but I think this is the best team, probably certainly the best talent they've ever had. So I can almost guarantee them getting to the Sweet 16. Final Four might be a push, but I think they're going to have a better year than they've had in the last 5 or 6.
I got them in the 8 going against Duke.
Well, there you have. So
there
do I
go.
Then.
So do you,
Jim,
then.
See?
Allie, I had no idea, Allie, that you knew so much and cared so much about basketball.
Now, Jim, you didn't know this, but way back in the day, I used to do sports updates for you at a radio station.
I knew that.
You're like, you didn't know Jack back then, Allie, so that's why I'm so impressed.
Hey, Allie, I want you to fill out a bracket, and I'm going to slam my name on it.
I like it.
Done.
I like it.
Done.
We do that for me. Can you hook me up?
Done.
Got to do it in the next 45 minutes, though. Jim Rome joins us every Thursday at this time, 9 a.m. to noon on the Beast 980. We always appreciate your time, Jim. Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Coming up about 15 minutes, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Right now, let's talk about April Foolishness. It's sold out. Thank you to everybody that bought the tickets. It's happening April 4th. and you can be the opening act. But that is only through tomorrow at 10 a.m.
And we've gotten a ton of amazing entries. Some not as amazing,
but we got a lot of different people to choose from, and we're very excited about the feedback. You do have another 24 hours, basically, to get it in. I'm going to play some highlights from some of the people who have entered. This is Joe Padilla.
One thing I don't like about him, though, is he makes me watch the Kardashians.
I should have set this up by saying he's talking about his boyfriend that makes him watch the Kardashians.
So terrible. I'm like, geez, why can't you just point out all my flaws and beat me like a regular boyfriend? If I have to look at Kanye West one more time, I'm going to run Kanye East.
There's a woman right up front that loves him. Loves. She was laughing so loud. Eddie Rojas. This is a stand-up that he did from the Ice House.
It's not familiar. It's a fat club. It's your basic nightclub. It's a disco club. But it's geared for fat people. They don't stamp your hand when you walk in. They brand you. Psst. There's no bar. Just a big buffet. Shots of chocolate and bacon grease. DJ was awesome. We started playing Jump Around by House of Pain. We all started jumping. Caltech came and shut us down.
See, because they were causing an earthquake. Mona Shake. What are the chances I'm saying that right?
Not
shake.
Good.
Mona Shake, maybe.
You know what's one thing you never see? Good-looking suicide bombers. Right? They're all so ugly. This is the deal. If you're good-looking, you don't have to blow yourself up to get ass in heaven. You're getting ass right here on earth. Okay? You don't have to blow yourself up. I actually asked my mom. I was like, Mom, if a guy blows himself up, he gets 72 virgins. If I blow myself up, what do I get? And my mom said, you only get good husband. Wait, what? A guy blows himself up, he gets 72 virgins. I blow myself up, I get my husband. I died to get away from that asshole. Okay.
She's known as the naughty Muslim comedian.
Things aren't going well with her.
This is Nick Morton talking about something that's super embarrassing.
It's weird giving a semen sample because I really need to explain why. Everything's weird about it. They give you a specimen cup, and like, you know, you're walking across the reception room, and everyone's like, there goes that guy. Then you're in there, and you're off, and you're thinking, God, everyone out there's thinking that guy's in there. Then you come out, and you're walking back across the reception room, and everyone's like, so that's what that guy looks like after you.
A lot of problems with that particular day. This is Junior De Guzman.
Like, I teach third graders music, and one of the songs that we teach is I've Been Working on the Railroad All My Live Long Life. And you know who loves that song is kids. You know who hates that song is Chinese immigrants from the 1860s. Like, never really got into it. If you didn't laugh at that joke, you probably don't know history. Or you're a Chinese immigrant from the 1860s.
That's true. That's an option. Not bad.
I like historical humor.
Not bad, right? Here is Jacob Gibbons.
Question. Can you buy a used Eyewitness News van? Is that an option? Can we have that? You guys, we could have sex in the back and I could say cool things like, this just in. I know, it's so stupid.
I love it.
You love the dumb humor. And Samantha Hale, I believe... I'm being told this is the granddaughter of the skipper from Gilligan's Island. That's what I'm being told, yes. And she's talking about ungrateful people.
I can't stand ungrateful people. I'll give you an example. The other day, this girl posted on Facebook as her status. She's like, OMG, went to the store today and they were out of Diet Dr. Pepper. F*** my life. What would the kids in Africa say if they had a computer or could post on Facebook, you know? Like, OMG, didn't go to the store today because we don't have one. And oops, out of white blood cells again, hashtag AIDS.
All right, so that happened. So you can send in your entries until 10 a.m. tomorrow, and you can open up Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We'll take a break and come back with Adam Carolla with This Week in Race. Dr. Drew's going to be on the program just after the top of the hour, and we need to talk to him about the Jimmy Kimmel pee hole disaster.
You sure?
Yeah. Because we told that story in Austin at South by Southwest, and then other people started picking up on it and writing stories. Yeah. Gawker did a story on it.
E! Entertainment
interviewed him about it. It's all weird now because Jimmy's famous.
Jimmy's pee hole is all the rage.
That's correct. That's correct. So we have to ask Dr. Drew about it because he's the one who diagnosed and treated that the first time. Adam Carolla is with us now. Good morning, Adam.
Didn't I go with Jimmy to the Drew's office for that? We, like, recorded it? Didn't we all go?
Yeah, we all went. And I remember Dr. Drew pulling the curtain and saying, okay, get in the gown. And I remember that Jimmy didn't. He just got completely undressed. And then he said, all right, I'm ready. And then we all yelled. We were like, come on, put on the gown. And he laughed. It was ridiculous, Adam. But that story is, what, 15, 20 years old. And it's so funny to see E! Entertainment actually talking to Jimmy Kimmel about that.
Well, his penis has arrived.
That's correct, yes. Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage. He's doing Adam Carolla Live with special guest Ralphie May next Wednesday, March 25th at 8 p.m. at the Irvine Improv. You can get those tickets, and you can also see Road Hard, by the way. It's on video on demand. All of that's at adamcarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three, work my way up to number one. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Mitt Romney's going to dance around a little with Evander Holyfield.
I heard he was going to box, but I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, well, it's a joke because, you know, a guy in a three-piece suit is going to get up there and move around with the ex-five-time heavyweight champ, and nothing's really going to happen. They have these exhibition fights all the time, you know. Guy fights a bear, guy fights a kangaroo. Holyfield fights Romney, you know, a Mormon against a bald black guy. That's not what we want to see. I mean, one guy clearly going half speed, the other guy with the Grecian formula dripping down the front of the forehead. Do we want to see that?
You don't think it's going to be a good match?
Well, no boxing match is a good match when everyone goes 1/8 speed.
Yeah, that's
true.
Here's
a match. How about we get Mitt Romney in with Al Gore and they go at it hard?
Oh, I'd like that.
Now, that we would watch.
That's
right?
A lot better. Absolutely.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, everyone's like, hey, it's great. Let's see the ex-champ. Yeah, look, there's Muhammad Ali and Nelson Mandela. This is awesome. But they're not doing anything. I don't pay. I mean, no one says it's an exhibition boxing match, and they're just walking in a circle smiling.
It's not like Holyfield's going to unload on him. He's just going to dance.
What if he does,
that
though?
That would be awesome if he just straight right to the head. Boom.
But I'm telling you, if you got Gore in there,
I'm with you.
You can tell him, hey, we're going with 12-ounce gloves. They're Reyes. They're Mexicans. They're for punchers. And let's do it, man.
I'm in.
Let's get it on. I could be the corner man for one of them. Let's not forget, Jimmy only lost that fight because he had a bad urethra.
Yeah, you were his trainer, though, if I recall correctly.
He had a bum urethra.
Right, sure.
Playing at the troop.
Yeah.
He had a hurt urethra, otherwise he would have won. He would have beat Michael, the maintenance man. Oh, all right. And also, let's see. I had this idea the other day. You know when, you know, chicks are freaking out on airplanes. Everyone's freaking out somewhere.
Wait, why are chicks freaking out?
Yeah, why is it ladies freaking out?
Well, the one chick who freaked out on the airplane started smoking cigarettes the airplane and going nuts. And, then the dude started freaking out on the airplane, rushed the pilot, the flight deck, and all that kind of stuff. Don't you think, would you guys be okay with this policy? And this is only for taxpayers. You don't pay taxes, you don't get this.
Okay.
Everyone is born with one freak out, get out of jail free card. Hmm. You only get one. One spaz out, get out of jail free card. One public indecency, get out of jail free card. You know, that thing where you're just taking a leak at the park because you just couldn't make it to the bathroom and you get cited for whatever.
Right.
Or you're taking a whiz on your front lawn and the neighbor takes a picture of it and sends it to the POFA. Like, just one. Just like, if I was elected, I would say all taxpayers get one DUI.
Well, I'm not sure.
Look, if you're getting into double digits, fine. But if you're like 0.0 something, you know. I'm just saying, one freak out in public, get out of jail free card. Use it where you want.
But Adam, look back at your life and think about how many get out of jail cards you would need for your life.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I would have used mine up in high school.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
All right. Okay. All right. And last but not least, another policy. Once I'm in charge. Seen a lot of fat cops out there these days. I don't know. You guys noticed a lot of pretty heavy set guys, especially around the airport. Maybe they don't need the Segway.
A lot of times you're on the Segway and you go, you know, you could walk some.
Yeah. You're, by the way, this is an elevator. This is a place that has a sidewalk that moves. You ride the Segway on the sidewalk that moves? Boy, people, we've really figured out the airport. Airport is at a. I see people getting carted around in golf carts that are perfectly fine. I see guys on Segways. I see other people standing on those people movers. What are our kids going to look forward to in like 10 years? They're just going to go into an airport and just lay down on the floor and wait for someone to carry them? Like, where's my Sherpa? What gate are you at? I'm Virgin Atlantic. All right, that's pretty far. Get over my shoulder, buddy, fireman style. Like, there's no place where people are carried around more than an airport.
You feel like you don't earn it. That's the problem.
By the way, you're about to be flown somewhere 3,000 miles away in 5 hours. The least you could do is walk for the next 200 feet.
Feel free to hoof it. You're going to be sitting for a while.
I'm going to take the wheelchair. I'm going to take the Cushman, the golf cart. There's the Segway. There's the people mover. I would like to put the wheelchair on top of the golf cart, put the golf cart and the people mover all on top of put all on that moving sidewalk and just go at it. But here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
This is what I wanted to say.
All right.
Seen a lot of fat cops.
Right.
Here's my deal with the cops. Gain as much weight as you want. But here's the thing. When you graduate the academy, we fit you for a flak jacket. You get a little body armor. That's a medium. That's back when you're spry, 168 pounds, and you do 55 push-ups on your knuckles.
Right.
That's the body armor you get. Now, you want to hit the Krispy Kreme and blow up, go ahead, but that's just more you to shoot because you ain't getting a new vest.
No new body armor.
One vest.
You
that's
get the same vest, and you got to squeeze into that crap every day before you go out. We don't issue you a jumbo size one. And if you want 7/8 your body to be slopping outside of the vest, so, you know, Suge Knight can take a pop at it. That's up to you. But you got the same medium-sized vest that you left the academy with.
Slopping out of your vest is disturbing.
That is a beautiful image.
More you to shoot. Visual. Is that what you want?
Adam, when are you going to take over? I'd like to see that.
You're with me, right?
Sure, absolutely. Adam Carolla, again, Wednesday with Ralphie May. You can get tickets at adamcarolla.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. Dr. Drew coming up just after the top of the hour right now. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the show biz beat.
All boys have penises. What? I'm sorry. Is this mic on?
Yes.
I'm just I was listening to my new favorite song. Can you play a little of that for me?
I don't know this.
I think
penis is what boys have down in front. Penis is the word, though it seems blunt. All boys have a penis, so no matter what you've heard, remember that penis is the proper word.
Yeah, that's the proper
vulva
word.
Vulva is what girls have down below.
That's right, what?
Even though most people call it vagina, and some children call it Virginia.
What's happening?
Vulva. What?
When she's naked, it will show. All girls have a vulva, so no matter what you've heard, remember that vulva is the proper word.
It's for the kids.
Both boys and girls have breasts.
Do we have to keep going?
Each person recognizes they're found upon our chests.
How well do you know this
and
song?
And grow to different sizes. Our anus is a useful thing indeed. The anus gives relief in time of need. We all had an anus, so no matter what you've heard, remember that anus is the proper word. So don't be appalled, because that's what they're called, and each of them's the proper word.
Yay! Proper word! Just try to learn how to use the proper words, that's all.
Where did that come from?
Came from a listener who said, hearing Kevin say penis all the time reminded me of a video they showed me in health class when I was in middle school about the proper word for boys' and girls' parts.
Penis.
And we found it, and so I thought I would share that with the kids so we all know the proper word.
That is a great, it's a great training song.
It's a PSA is what it is.
It is.
Now you know. The more
also
you know.
Also a great phone-in topic. What did you call those things growing up?
Ah.
I like it.
I have a couple.
It's also going to be the song I go.
Right?
It's also going to be the song I go to every time you want another song now. You want me to play a clip?
Yes.
You're getting that song.
What was I thinking?
I have a clip of it.
Magic.
Penis is the proper
word. Penis
is what boys have down in front.
Okay. All right. All right.
You know the thing now that everybody does is their own do-it-yourself shows. People who maybe at the end of the career, like Daryl Hall, Vanilla Ice.
Screech.
No, I don't think he ever did a do-it-yourself show. I believe that was Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe some confusion there. Uh-huh. William Shatner had one, the Shatner Project. Sometimes, you know, Balky had one. What's his name?
I don't remember that.
Bronson Pinchot.
He had a do-it-yourself show where he was remaking farmhouses in Pennsylvania, I believe it was.
I'm not a fan of the do-it-yourself show.
You're not? I like doing stuff around the house.
Really much.
I like strapping on the old tool belt.
Nope.
Going
hanging
around
the wife off the roof.
Hanging the wife off the roof with a piece of with a length of rope.
We might need to tell
some
that story
insulated
at some point.
Gloves. No, but I do. I enjoy that stuff. And when I watch the showbiz types take on projects, it's always entertaining to me.
Okay.
And this one will be the best one ever. You won't believe who's getting his own show. I'll give you a hint. I won't tell you who the star is. I'll give you the title of the show, and you tell me if you can.
If you can
guess who's going to be the star of this show.
Okay.
It's going to be on, let me see, what network? DIY, the DIY network.
Sure.
Do it yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same family as HGTV, and there you go. So on the Do It Yourself network, the show is called I Pity the Tool.
Are you kidding me?
I Pity the Tool.
Kevin Bacon. I was kidding.
I love Mr. T so much.
Mr. T.
Remember we had Mr. T in, and everything he said was genius.
He was the best man ever. Really, he was totally positive and charming and adorable, and just he was a sweetheart. And now he's going to have his own home renovation show.
I Pity the Tool.
I Pity the Tool. I'm going to knock down some walls. My prediction, pain.
T. I might have to watch that.
Mr. T.
When does that start?
Oh, it does not say here in my little story.
It's not that important.
I'll give you updates. I believe this summer? I think maybe this summer. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on it, but we will definitely be talking more about I Pity the Tool.
He's awesome.
Greatest title for a show ever. They're remaking Scarface.
I saw that. They're remaking Scarface.
That is balls. That is guts right
now. No!
This is, I mean, look, they're iconic films and they're iconic films. But Tony Montana.
Yeah.
Still, people still watch that film and pattern their lives after it. Some more than others. But Universal has announced they're doing their Scarface remake. And the scriptwriter of Straight Outta Compton has been hired to do the rewrite, Jonathan Herman.
Okay.
The original, of course. Well, actually, there was a Scarface before the 83 version in 1932. It was about a gangster, like an old-timey gangster. Scarface, loosely based on Al Capone.
Right.
And then Al Pacino took over, and he played Tony Montana in the 83 version. The backdrop was Miami, where he was a Cuban refugee, rises up to become a drug kingpin. This version will apparently take place in Los Angeles and will also be about an immigrant's rise in the criminal underworld.
Do we know who's going to play the lead?
No word yet.
Because that seems like that's important.
That is a daunting task, I think, to follow Al Pacino's performance in that film. This guy who's writing it, by the way, is also working on a remake of The Birds at Universal Studios, a classic Hitchcock horror film. So we'll wait and see. But maybe Mr. T could play it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. He actually could.
A pity to cocaine. And Empire said goodbye last night to its first season.
So good.
This is going to surprise you. More viewers.
Yeah.
Last night than ever before. It gained viewership for the 10th straight week. Unheard of. For a broadcast series. In the past 6 years, no series has pulled that feat off. But there they were. Everybody,
some great guest stars last night. They had Snoop.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty strong.
Jennifer Hudson back again. She was great.
I built an empire.
Yep.
For you, my sons, to rise up.
Mm-hmm. I got something to say about that.
Cookie. A little scene from last night's show. I don't have time for my email.
Oh, that's a shame.
See how much time we waste so much time with penis and vulva. Now we have no time. Now we have no time.
I don't consider it wasted time, Ralph. It was a learning experience.
All right, come back in a little while, or stick around for a little while, and I will read you this email from Johnny.
Penis.
It's about kids. It's about raising kids. That's why I opened up with the penis song. And I was going to do this, but now we're way too late.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Clayton Kershaw is 27 years old today. He's a pitcher for your Dodgers. L.A. Clippers forward, Hedo Turkoglu. He's 36 years old. Jorma Taccone from Lonely Island is 38. Bruce Willis is 60. And actress Glenn Close is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What a bizarre story that has come out now about Jimmy Kimmel based on our panel at South by Southwest. Dr. Drew joins us, as he does. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Why is it a bizarre story? You were there.
I was there. I'm the one that brought it up. But
here's what was bizarre about it.
All right.
My friend Jimmy Kimmel, this was what, 15 years ago?
Yes.
Called me, asked to make an appointment in my office to see him urgently. There was a problem. He was unclear what it was. He marches in. I move aside all the other patients to make time for him. And dutifully behind him is Kevin with a microphone.
Yeah.
Marching into the little exam room.
Yeah, and Adam told me last hour he was there as well. I think it was a whole morning show.
No, Adam we've told the story enough that Adam just thinks he's there. Adam now believes he was there.
Okay.
Adam was not there. It was you, me, and Jimmy, and a microphone.
Okay, so that was 15 years ago. So cut to this past weekend. We're doing a panel in Austin at South by Southwest, and I bring that up, and Jimmy explains what happened. And to me, it's an old story, and who cares because we heard it so long ago. But since he's now Jimmy Kimmel Live and he's a TV star, everybody started picking up on it. And E! Entertainment did an interview with him and they were asking him about it.
It just kind of closed up on its own. I don't know why it happened. I still don't know why.
And it just opened one day?
No, I had to have an operation. Well, listen,
you had to have an operation on a hole in your penis?
Twice.
Now, Dr. Drew.
Did he talk about the spikes they drove down there? Remember he used to tell the story with such glorious detail?
Was that just him exaggerating?
No. They basically put spikes down.
That happened.
Back up. He'd do it twice to him. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, take me through this because I have never heard such a thing. What causes
honey, have you ever heard of sounding?
What?
Oh, my goodness. You guys should look that up.
That's a new habit
you guys will get into.
I don't think so.
Love line, for Christ's sake.
All right.
Anyway, listen. What this is a urethral stricture. So you can get all kinds of things that can happen, irritations and whatnot, and your urethra from your bladder to the tip of the penis can sort of stricture down, can narrow down for various reasons.
Okay, let me just interrupt there. How often does that happen?
That's a really common phenomenon. He's a little young to have had that, but yeah.
It's common?
When people... Well, one of the I would say the most common of this is not what Jimmy had, but it is the most common complication of sexually transmitted diseases, I'd say.
It's a sexually transmitted disease?
No, that's not what I said. I do not want those rumors out there. That is absolutely categorically not
it's
what's
not
going
that.
On with Jimmy. But when you cause a severe infection or irritation of the urethra, which STDs do,
right.
Sometimes it leaves behind a little scarring, and that's the narrowing of the urethra. And in Jimmy's case, we never did know what it was. It was not an STD. And they have various ways of doing it. And most of the time you're asleep, but they either put down these sort of hard rubber spikes.
Oh, my God.
Or sometimes they can put a wire and then put these little balls over the wire.
Oh, my God.
Wait, are
this
we still talking about the
insane.
Same thing?
This is medieval. Spikes and barbs, and there's got to be a better tool, Drew.
Well, it's, Theodoric of York taught us many years ago in the medieval times.
All right, Dr. Drew, yeah. Why did this have to happen
twice?
Once not do it?
Because it's a scar. When you break a scar up, another scar forms.
Oh, wow.
You know how that goes? And so it's not at all uncommon. Some people need to have it recurrently their whole life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So this generally happens when you're a lot older, or in the case of somebody that gets an STD, this could happen, a bad infection, right?
Yes. Although I'm not a urologist, so I can't quote these data off the top of my head, but my sense is, I practiced medicine a long time, is that, yes, it's usually older, and yes, it's more common in women, in my experience.
That was my next question that came in. Oh,
women.
Don't laugh. You're so dumb.
Well, up until this point, I thought I was the only one that had to worry.
But it is far more draconian when it happens to a male, because the there's this thing outside the body that you've got to get through to get to the stricture oftentimes.
We get a lot of things put
Yeah. Let me just back up. We've made a lot of advances in medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
How is driving a stake through it? How is that the answer to anything in 2015?
First of all, I'm surprised Corolla didn't pick this up. He's been complaining about dentistry as long as I've known him.
Right. This is horrible.
But the driving the spike through, let's be clear, it's down the urethra. It's not like into the penis. It's like down.
Oh, yeah. That makes it a lot better, Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not better. That's a terrible way to treat something. There's no medicine.
Well, you can be asleep. You can be asleep for it.
Why was Jimmy not asleep?
I don't really know. I thought that was peculiar, too, to tell you the truth. And I don't know that
better
he was.
Better audio, I think, is what Kevin wants to say.
He was doing a lot for the sake of the show in those days.
Right?
You know, including having Kevin trail along with him to my office.
Yeah.
But he never, if you ever notice, he never says he wasn't asleep. He just knew he was having these spikes driven down his penis. That might have been enough.
Okay, so
he
you think he may have been asleep, but just doesn't remember that? He has a pretty good memory.
No, it just makes a better story.
Okay.
Just leave that out.
All right. Well, it was weird. I did bring it up in Austin, and then we moved on and talked about a lot of other things, and somehow that one stuck out to people, and they all started asking him about
not
it.
Not only did the press catch it, people were, like, asking me about it. It's weird.
Were you the doctor, Dr. Drew?
Dr.
Yes,
Drew
was.
Was the original doctor. Did you drive the stake?
No, I knew that was what he was going to need, though. I didn't deliver the news until I let the urologist do that.
That is bad news right there.
It's good times, though.
All right. One other topic, now that we've got Jimmy's pee hole out of the way. Iboga? Iboga?
Ibogaine.
Ibogaine.
So this guy, what's his name again?
Scott Disick.
Disick, yeah. He has gone down to somewhere in Mexico to get, ooh, a special treatment. Everybody, when you get special treatment, I don't care what you're going for treatment for, you're going to get S treatment. You're going to get crappy treatment.
All right, Dr. Drew, first of all, it's in Costa Rica, and it's known as the Rhythmia Life Advancement Center Rehab Facility.
Then it must be good. So here's the deal with Ibogaine. It's not nothing. It's not zero. It's something that needs more study. It's a very powerful hallucinogen, so therefore, like other hallucinogens, it carries the risk of brain damage, and there's great concern about that. It's a powerful one. Mostly used for opiate addiction. If an alcoholic is going down there, by the way, this guy apparently had been previously treated. If an alcoholic is going for ibogaine treatment, that to me suggests the alcoholism must be really bad. So we can, you know, ascertain that this guy really has got some problems.
Okay, but it's a real rehab place that actually rehabs?
I've never seen it incorporated in a medical setting. Usually it's down in Mexico. Usually it's sort of shaman-esque type stuff.
Yeah.
And it's usually opiate addicts that get it.
But
and it does work. For about 6 months, typically.
I don't understand how it treats addiction, though, because it's a hallucinogenic, so all of a sudden you're realizing things in the past,
no,
that type of thing?
No, it's absolutely not psychological.
Just kidding.
Yeah, clearly a biological injury to the brain. It just disrupts the chemistry in the brain, the reward system. We don't really know how yet. Like I said, it needs study. But along with disrupting the reward apparatus, it also, in my experience, because I've had a number of patients go down and try this over the years, and they come back with very bizarre personality changes as well. They're not the same person, which is interesting.
Really? Personality changes?
Right. So here you have brain damage, personality changes. At what risk is it worth getting what is only reliably 6 months of abstinence? Now, I have spoken to people whom I did not see a personality change, and they had kind of a sustained effect. They seemed to be okay for a few years. So it does happen. The question is, how do you select the person for whom that's likely to be? How do you dose this? How many expose? It's Wild West. No one knows what to do with this stuff.
Can you get your hands on it?
Yes.
Dave, the King of Mexico, would like to try it.
He already has. He's
what?
Was at my house this morning. And
no.
A huge dose.
No, seriously.
Notice the way he is? Did you see him at that wedding? Did you see the pictures?
Did you see him dancing?
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. Thank you. The good Lord had nothing to do with that.
No, he did not.
Dr. Drew, we always appreciate your time. Dr. Drew, of course, is on Loveline, and that is K-Rock Sunday to Thursday nights. Dr. Drew on Call is on HLN. That's Monday to Thursday at 6 p.m. He's on KABC Monday to Friday at noon.
Seriously.
And he's got like 17 podcasts. We appreciate your time, Dr. Drew. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38. Ralph Garman is here. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Say hello to my little friend.
Scarface.
Remake. Won't be the same without that, right?
I can't imagine that it will.
First, you get the money. Then, you get the power. Then, you get the women. Ooh,
That's a different movie.
They are remaking Scarface. Of course, originally it was made in 1932. A lot of people don't know there was an original Scarface starring Paul Muni. And then in 1983, Oliver Stone's remake. I think he wrote the screenplay for that.
Did he?
If I'm not mistaken. Al Pacino starred Tony Montana.
That still holds up. You come across that, you have
to
watch
it. Sure does. Stephen Boyer. Great cast. 1983. Michelle Pfeiffer. The Fife. Remember the Fife?
Sure.
Can't forget the Fife.
Come on, Lamb Dog.
Come on, Lamb Dog.
I remember Michelle Pfeiffer. I didn't know she was the Fife.
Yeah.
All right. And who is his sister in it?
Who is his sister in it?
Damn.
I don't think it was Del Dizzy.
Email Ralph at krock.com.
No, do not. I will find out myself immediately.
He loves your input.
After I get off the air, I will look it up, and that mystery will be solved, and I will not need your help, but God bless you.
Mary Elizabeth Mastantonio.
Thank you, Mastantonio.
I didn't want to say that last name.
So anyway, they're remaking it. It looks like the guy who wrote the screenplay for Straight Outta Compton, the writer Jonathan Herman, is going to do the rewrite, and he is going to be the script they will move forward with over there at Universal. And hopefully no one will get runned over while they're making this movie.
It's funny because you know it's a high-profile thing that he's done, but we've not seen it, so you don't really know how to judge this
but
guy.
I guess they like that script enough to give him this one, so good stuff.
Empire. Empire continues to be a phenomenon for my sons. Someone will step forward and take over Empire.
Mm-hmm. And that someone is me. Cookie.
Last night, the season finale of Empire once again showed tremendous growth in audience for the 10th week in a row. The audience got bigger.
That just doesn't happen.
Up about 10% over last week's hour-long episode. So the two-hour finale getting huge numbers.
It's approaching Walking Dead numbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
15, 16 million, something
like
that?
Yeah, it's getting monster numbers, so congratulations. And while we're talking about television, I can't wait for the new game show from the creative mind of Mr. Ryan Seacrest. It's gonna be a piece of work. You know, last time he gave us a game show, he gave us that amazing show that took place in Times Square where you had to be locked inside of a plexiglass hourglass.
Yeah.
And then you got to sit in the hot seat, and then someone could hit the swap router button, and then you would get, I believe, a pie in the face, at which point you would have to count how many shingles were on top of a roof in somewhere in Pakistan, and then they would give you a goat. And then if that goat had a kid, you were able to throw a ball through an inner tube, and then I think you got electrified, but if you could hold on to the electrical post for more than 30 seconds, then you got to open up a burlap bag full of cats.
Jeez, a lot of rules.
There were a lot of rules.
It was unnecessarily complex.
Do you remember when we played the yes, introduction where they explained the rules of the show?
I remember taking about 10 minutes trying to figure it out because it just didn't make sense.
No one watched.
Because it didn't make
confusing,
sense.
Too confusing. This one's going to be a lot easier. It's called Babushka. Babushka.
That's the name of this show.
It will be called Babushka.
Okay.
It's a syndicated game show in which contestants are given 10 giant Russian nesting dolls. And you must open 8 of them for the chance to win up to $500,000. Now, if one of the dolls is empty inside, you lose all the money you've accumulated up to that point. But if there's another doll inside, then you get to continue. Let's play Babushka! I'm auditioning for the host.
Yeah. How does that pitch? How does he pitch that and people go, yep,
well,
we're in?
Apparently, this is going to be syndicated worldwide, so they're hoping there'll be an international flavor to this game, and that they will load to air it in foreign countries as well. It'll be syndicated around the world.
So it's going to fail around the world.
It's going to
be an international failure.
Yes,
that's a terrible game show.
Let's play Babushka.
No.
You don't want to play Babushka?
Nope.
And Gwyneth Paltrow wants you to know she's just a regular gal.
Sure.
She tells CNN Money that, yes, she gets a lot of flack for selling ridiculously expensive, unnecessary products on her Goop website, but she's a lot like the common woman, she says.
Yeah.
Women and mothers are all seekers. We all want questions. We all want fulfillment to live our best lives, she said.
But she gives advice for, like, what type of private jet to fly and what type of caviar.
If you go to her website, you will get the best of life, whatever it is. At any price point, though, she says.
Oh. Oh.
No.
Oh. Okay. Good.
So you can get a shark keychain for $200 there. It's the best shark keychain on the market.
Okay. Look, why do you have to try and convince people that you're normal? You're not. It's okay.
We all know. You live in a rarefied world. You always have, by the way. Your parents were big-time Hollywood muckety-mucks. You've always lived in a high-profile, high-income world, and that's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay
I feel
to
like
be successful.
That's okay. Good for you.
You get your vagina steamed. That's not an average woman's thing. My mom never took a squat on a tea kettle saying, oh, I'm gonna take care of myself till the kids come home from school. That never happened.
Wow. It's hard to even hear.
Just saying. Right? Who's with me?
Kevin Smith?
Maybe.
Only.
Maybe. You want to be on Big Brother 17? Here's what you do. Get yourself out to Besso Hollywood, which is at 6350 Hollywood Boulevard. You do it this Saturday, the 21st, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're looking to cast Big Brother Season 17.
Big Brother or Babushka? Got to pick.
Go on down there and see those folks and tell them we sent you, and they will put you at the back of the line. So.
Yeah, it won't help the
situation. It won't help
the
situation at all.
Most of the time.
Speaking about mothers and women and raising kids, thanks to John Eaton for sending in this email. I thought this was fascinating. My wife and I both listened to the show as long as we can remember, right, John? We are now the proud parents of a 15-month-old little boy. He is beginning to come into his own and explore his world. With that, he tends to do things his mother and I don't approve of. We've been discussing how to appropriately handle his punishment when such instances occur. She is new school and believes in talking it through. I'm old school and believe in minor corporal punishment. We have reached an impasse, and we feel the Kevin and Bean show might be able to help answer the age-old question. Should you spank your kids for being naughty? I woke up in a new Bugatti. Should you spank your kids? Too many words.
That's too many words. It doesn't.
Should you spank your kids for being naughty?
Yeah.
You spank your kids for being naughty. There we go. Worked it out at the end there.
All right.
John let me down. He put too many syllables in there. You got to work it out, John. Get back to me.
Send
me a call now. We'll get right back.
Ralph, something that's half-baked, finish it.
That's right.
Make it work. Make it fit.
All right, let's try again. I think I got it. I think if I cut it down to, do you spank your kids for being naughty? I think it'll work.
Okay.
Let me try it again. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Do you spank? No. Spank your kids for me.
You really tried. I mean,
no.
Spank your kids for being naughty. You got to start with spank. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Maybe you just got to throw in. Do you?
Should you spank your kids for being naughty? Spank your kids for being naughty.
Right.
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
There we go. We got it.
We got that fixed.
We'll fix that in post.
I feel like that may have been a waste of time.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Glenn Close is 68 years old today. Actor Bruce Willis turned 60. Jorma Taccone from The Lonely Island. He is 38 years old. Hedo Turkoglu from the L.A. Clippers. He's 36. He's 36? What the hell is he doing playing basketball? Sit down, Hedo. Get the hell out of it. It's a man's game. You should retire. And L.A. Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Shoebus beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we have the movie beat. We also have James Corden, who is the host of The Late Late Show.
I love you so much.
And we have comedian Greg Fitzsimmons as well tomorrow morning.